Thank you for prayer, Brother Earl. We mentioned last our last meeting the subject that we're continuing in, the verse where Jesus Christ said he was the way, the truth, and the life. And we attempted to start in reference to that life. Do we understand the term life? Do we know life? Is life nothing more than our breathing and eating and sustaining the body and going about every day, every night, every morning? Or is there more to temporal life than what man, not only what man acknowledges, but what man understands, or what man is able to see? Think upon that. What is life? What really is life? If the Lord will help us all, we're going to try to come to a greater understanding of not only the life that we live temporally, but the life that Jesus Christ spoke about, that he gives us more abundantly. And there is a difference. And I hope that we can rationalize and follow and understand and reap the benefits of the Word of God in recognizing this life that Jesus Christ is speaking about. It is very important that we understand this life. There is a lot of this temporal living that we take for granted. And then there's a lot of spiritual life which we don't even recognize. You have to recognize, understand, before you can see. And this is what Jesus is telling us in his words. Last week, we spoke that the life that Jesus Christ had within him was the same life that abideth in God the Father. And we also pointed out that this life that abides in the Father, that abides in Jesus Christ, is the same life that Jesus is talking about in giving his people. Now think on that. The same life that abides in God and Christ is what is being rendered unto his people. For us to fully grasp and fully enjoy this life, we have to have an understanding. we have to have a reasoning, and we have to have acknowledgement of the life, living in life, and what is the life. Thereby, we not only can obtain the level of, let's say, true living unto the glory of God that He wants us to obtain. Thereby, not only do we reap and rejoice and receive the joy and the peace that He's talking to, or not talking to, but talking about, that we have in this life. But see, if you don't see it, you don't understand it, how are you going to recognize it? And how are you going to obtain it? And how are you going to glean or receive those joys and the peace that comes in it? Now, we have to start in recognizing this life right at the bottom. And that's where we're at. We're right at the bottom. And I say that with all sincerity in the sense that when we were the child of wrath, we were without life. And we've experienced this, we've heard this preached, we see it and recognize it in ourselves. Then, as the Holy Spirit comes upon the children of God, and He changes that stony heart to a heart of flesh, meaning that you have feeling, and He writes upon your mind the principles and the precepts of God the Father. As Brother Earl mentioned in his prayer, God is a spirit. Do you understand what that means? Can you visualize a spirit? Can you see a spirit? Can you fellowship with a spirit? These are things that we have got to come to a greater knowledge about and a greater understanding of before we can see life. What is real life in Christ Jesus? We have brought before you in times past that Jesus Christ is the manifestation of God. He is the very essence of God the Father, of the Spirit of God. That is manifested in Jesus Christ. Therefore, we can see the essence of life in Jesus Christ, meaning the life of God. We know and we understand from what God has revealed to us that it's eternal. His life is eternal. He has always existed from the past to the present and throughout the future. God has always existed. Man is a created creature. We have a beginning and we will have an ending. But this life that we are going to try to attempt to bring to clarity, as Christ said, to light, meaning to understand. It is that life that God has, that He gave the Son, and the Son is handing unto us. And that life is going to be eternal. But before we can realize that, This life, this temporal life that had a beginning, must have an end. It's going to come to an end. But that eternal life, that soul, that spirit that God put within us, will not. It will not. It will be as the Lord Jesus Christ and as God. It will go on. And it will go on for all eternity. Now, this life had a price. And we all know that price. We have heard and we have said that your body is not your own. It is bought. Have you understood why it was bought? Yeah, we've said because Jesus Christ died for you. Jesus Christ took your sins upon Him. Okay? Now, that life that remains belongs to who? It belongs to Jesus Christ, God the Father. That's why it is not ours per se, but His life. Why do we have that life? Why is that life given us? Think on that. Why did God ordain that we have life like Him? Have you ever given that any thought? I hear answers that more or less relate to this temporal understanding. It's so that we can enjoy the heavens and being with God. Well, that's subordinate. That's subordinate. That's less than the real reason. And the real reason is that God had a people to glorify Him, to praise Him. Oh, that can't be true. Well, now wait a minute. Think a little further. We are the recipients of all the treasures of eternal life in Christ. Because He says we are heirs to Christ. We are equal in that sense that we receive the eternal life and the joys of being in His glory. The Apostle Paul says, this mind that you have and I have right now, we can't even imagine the glories that wait the children of God. And that's all because God loved us, His people, to such a degree that He wanted to share. Now listen to this. He wanted to share that life with us. Is it too much to rationalize that we should glorify God for that? Is it too much to ask that we glorify Him? Is it too much to ask that we honor Him? Is it too much to ask that we obey God the Father? For all that yet waits in hand for His children, that we can't even imagine life. This temporal life is just existing. That's all it is. It's just existing. It's like a traveler And we hear it referred to that. We're traveling on a road. We have a concept of where we want to go, but we don't have a clear understanding where it's at. Just like Jesus told the apostles, "You know not where I go, nor can you go with me." What is this life, this way, this truth that Jesus was speaking about, what does that pertain to us? It's just like as simple as this. Jesus Christ said, "I know the Father. I know from whence I came," which He came from the Father. He came here to this low land of sin and sorrow, took upon Him our guilt, our sin, our iniquity, took upon us the flesh and blood of this temporal body. Can you imagine something holy having to put on the guilt and the sin of this nature? That would be like you going out and wallowing in a pig pen. And you know what a pig pen contains in it. That's as near as I can get to describe what it must have been like for Christ to take upon Him this body. He laid down some directions. He gave us some understanding. And He says, "And I am returning from whence I came. But you cannot come. You cannot come in this nature that you're in. But I have made arrangements so that you can." So you see, we've got our suitcases packed and we're on the road traveling. We're traveling in this life with the understanding of that better life, which we have a hope and an assurance and a way of getting there. But now understand this. It's not by our understanding. It's not by our abilities. It's not by us in and of itself. Period. The only way, Jesus Christ. The only truth about it, Jesus Christ. And the only life about it, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That is it in a nutshell. Totality. All of it is in Jesus Christ. It's not in what preacher you hear. It's not in what books you read. It's not in the feeble attempts you try to make to be righteous and holy in this world. It's not in anything that relates to this temporal life that we're living. It's all in Christ Jesus. We've got to remember that. It's all in Him. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Now, the child of God, as we learn from the apostles and from the Word of God, has to, and I say has to, it's a necessity that he grows. Just like in this temporal life. We grow. But also we must grow in the spiritual life. And the only way that that comes about is through the Lord Jesus Christ also, the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is what is teaching you, guiding you, and leading you in this life, spiritual life, that has been given you, that hope of eternal life that abides within your heart and in your mind, that is leading you into in this world here on that path, the way that He has established for His people to travel, then we need to adhere to that and stay on that path, because we're just passing through this world here looking forward to that better world to come, and there's no reason for you to turn and look back. And there's no reason for you to turn and look to the side to see what is out there, because there's nothing out there that is going to assist you, help you, benefit you in any way of heading down that path that Jesus Christ has laid for us. This life that He has given us, eternal life, eternal bliss, glory, a glory in and of itself, just to be in the presence of God. So when you start to murmuring about how bad things are, you're not looking down that path, you're looking over here. Or you're looking over here. Or you're starting to turn back. And how do we know that? We know that because we look at the book, the Word. Just like the nation Israel, when they started murmuring. What did they turn around and started looking back at Egypt, from whence God brought them out from under slavery. And they were complaining because they were having a little hard time following the path that God had laid before them. But you know what? The reason they had a hard time was because of their unfaithfulness, being ungrateful, desiring the things of this world over what God had promised them. God has promised us more than this world will ever be able to afford you. And where do you obtain it? In this life that Jesus is speaking about. Not this temporal life, but that new creature. That new life, the Apostle Paul. That new creature. That new man. That has a heart of flesh now. That has a mind. And an eyes that can see. And that mind is able to perceive the things of God. So when we have troubles and trials and tribulations, and I'm one that really is acute to the things that are going on. But you know why? Do you know why? The Lord told us to stand fast in the way. I don't think His people are standing fast in the way. I don't think people are putting on the armor of God. Why do you put on armor if you're not going to stand up and fight? That's what that means. Now, we all become too passive. We think because we have that promise and that covenant fellowship with God, that life is a pleasure here. No. God said, put on my full armor and stand up, stand fast for my truths. Why do we have so much problems in the church today? Why do we have so many problems around and about us today? Because God's people aren't standing up and putting on the armor of God and standing for His truths and arguing against the sin of this world that's coming and about us. That's why. Now, in Thessalonians 5:17 and 18, we read, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. In everything. Well, what is this everything? It's everything that God has given you, showing you in understanding and in seeing of this life eternal. You don't have room to complain, but you are to give thanks in everything that pertains to the Word of God. He says, for this, the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Did you catch that? We are to pray without ceasing, because it all is in Christ Jesus concerning you. You. What is man that God is what? What? Looking, listening, watching, upholding, caring for, loving. You. Why? When we complain. When we sit back on our haunches and we don't want to put forth no effort into standing fast for the Word of God, the Word of truth. Did you think He was going to make it easy? The whole nation of Israel was promised the promised land of Canaan. I understand from historians that there were something like 2 million that come out of Egypt. How many went into the land of Canaan? Two. Do you think God's going to tolerate disobedience, murmuring, complaining, turning our backs upon Him? When He's made all these promises in this new life that He's given you, just the fact that He's given you this life, what is life? Can you give a definition of what life is? I'll give you a real quick description of what life is. It's understanding, knowledge, and wisdom. That's life. What is life to someone that is an infidel? Or to someone that is a moron? Or to someone that is ignorant? Think of that. What is life to them? They know nothing. They can't understand anything. They're just existing. What is life? But here God has promised and given you a new life. It's new because it's outside of this temporal life that you exist in. And it's an eternal life that He has promised. And that life is with Him. No more of this. And I'm going to use a slang here. This crappy world that we live in. Because that's what it is. I believe that gives a clear description of what this life, this temporal life is. God, in His love, through His Son, has given us life, and life more abundant. How's it more abundant? You're sitting here, you're learning, you're understanding, you're seeing, and you're coming into a greater knowledge and a greater wisdom concerning God. And life that He has promised you. But more than that life itself, is the fact that that life is the life that God has within Himself, and that we will coexist in His presence. In His presence. Man. Are you getting a little better picture of life? What it should mean to us? Not this world here. But that world that's up here and in here. And we can visualize from here and from the Holy Ghost. Jesus says He speaks of Him. And He speaks of the Father. And He speaks of that life that He's given us. Now I see why David penned down these words, and they are a prayer. They are a prayer. We go to Psalms 51:10. Create in me a clean heart. That should be our prayer every day. Create in me a clean heart. Psalms 51:10. A clean heart. Do you still want to have the same old hard and stony heart that you have in this old temporal life that you care less about God? No. Because He gave you a new one. He gave you a heart of flesh that can feel. You want to see what you look like in God's eyes? Go to some of the bars, some of the low-life areas in this country or anywhere where people kill people. People don't care anything about life. Where do we see over in Iran, Iraq, Pakistan, Saudi Arabia? They don't care nothing about life. Life is cheap dirt. They behead people. They kill people. They blow up people. They torture people. Life is nothing. That's where you're at in the old temporal life. The Apostle Paul says, we were once children of wrath. That's the same thing. But now you have a heart of flesh, not of stone. You have a heart of feeling. And that spirit can make that heart swell so big that it's all you can do to hold it in. And that heart will make the tears of joy fall down your cheeks when you think upon your Lord and Savior and what God has done for you. Amen. That's why David says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. That's the spirit I want. I don't want the old spirit. I want this spirit that God has given me. And the Apostle Paul says every time that he did good, evil was present. Oh, how I know that. How I know that. The only good that I can proclaim is the good that God has put in my heart. The evil I can show you all about me. Life that God give me is that life in which I desire, in which I want and strive for, in which I want to exist, as David says here, create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew a right spirit within me. K. cast me not away from thy presence. Can you imagine what it would be like now? He's given you this heart and this mind to be cast away from the knowledge of Him. You talk about darkness. That's darkness. It's not nothing like what we see out here. No. We were once alive in this temporal body, yet we walked in darkness. We walked in darkness of the true life, of real life, that sustaining life that only comes through Jesus Christ by way of the Father, through the Holy Ghost. That's life. That's living. Cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. That should be our prayer every day. Take not that Holy Spirit. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Not my salvation, but thy salvation. Because you are my salvation, my Lord and my God. You are. And uphold me with thy free spirit. Uphold me. We read over in Psalm 16:11, it says, thou wilt show me the path of life. What he was praying for right here, that's the stones, the cobbles, stones, the pathway that we cross over. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Amen. See that? How did David know this? The same way that you know this. By the hand of God. By the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior. By the working of the Holy Spirit within us. In Psalms 18:28, he says, for thou wilt light my candle. That's just another way of saying, thou wilt enlighten my mind. Thou wilt enlighten my life. Or thou wilt give me life. Understanding. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. Let me ask you a question. Were you not ignorant of the things of God at one time in your life? That's darkness. That's darkness. And what's he say here? He says, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness, my ignorance, my lack of understanding and knowledge and wisdom concerning the life of God. The life in God. Concerning the Son of God, in which God gave life. And in turn, Christ gives it to His people. And we read in Joshua 24:15, he says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Who are you serving? Who am I serving? Are we serving God? Are we walking that path, that way? Are we adhering to that truth? And are we seeking that life that the Lord is speaking about? Well, let's look over in 82, verse 5. In Psalms. And we'll see what the other side looks like. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. Do we not see that today? Do we not see that in this country? Do we not see it in some of the churches that claim Jesus Christ? Have we not experienced some of this? I'm going to read that again. I want you to listen to this. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. Isaiah warned us that the day will come where men will say what God calls good, evil, and what God calls evil, good. Is that not being out of course with life? With life? There's no other life other than what God has given us. Think on that. There's no other life except that which God has given us. Because we knew not, we didn't understand, and we were walking in darkness till God gave us that life. Now, are we striving in that life? Or are we doing as Israel did, wandering in the desert? Wandering in the desert. Our only reprieve, let's go over to Isaiah 9:2. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. Who's he referring to? Who's he referring to? He said, the people. Not all people, but the people. The children of God. That walked in darkness. Have seen a great light. Well, who's able to see that light? If it wasn't those that God had given their eyes to see. And the mind to understand. And the heart to know. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Let's go over to 29:18. And in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book. Did you always hear the Word of God when you were in church? Did you always understand the Word of God when you was in church? Did you always have a feeling for the words of God when you were in church? If you were in church. If you were in church. But listen. Listen. When God deals with His people, listen what happens. And in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book. I can recall as a child. I can recall as an adult. The days that I sat in church. And I didn't hear. And I didn't understand. And I didn't walk. In life. Until. And in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book. And the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity. And out of darkness. Obscurity. That means. I had a cloudy mind. I couldn't perceive. I didn't understand. I couldn't understand. I couldn't see. Because I couldn't hear. But it says here, the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. Darkness, the darkness that I lived in. Because I didn't know of any other life. I didn't know what life was. How was I going to live it if I didn't know it existed or what it was? But God prepared. He prepared the way for His people. He prepared the way for His people so that He could be glorified. Do you understand who you really are? God could have raised up stones, trees, whatever, to glorify Him. But He said, let us make man in our likeness. We're made in His likeness. And we're made to His glory. We were blessed just by being made. Because we were made in His likeness. He wanted a people to glorify Him for His glory, for His love that He put upon you and in your heart. He wants a people to glorify Him with understanding and knowledge and wisdom. That comes from where? From Him. He gives it to us. And in turn, we obtain all the glories of heaven. What a little price that is. That we are to walk in the way, follow the truth, and live the life. What kind of complaint can you have towards that? This room should be full of people glorifying God. But what we read back over here? They walked in darkness. They understood not. They had no understanding. Doesn't that give you an example of where we're at? Where this world stands? Why ain't this place full? Why ain't they standing out there? Because they're still walking in darkness. They don't understand. And they can't see. Nor can they hear. You are blessed. Never forget that. You are blessed by God. The meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. Listen to that. The poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. You know what that tells me? That I don't need money. That I don't need riches. That I don't need possessions to rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. And am I wrong in saying that if I have riches, if I have possessions, if I have the pleasures of this world, do I come complacent in my need for God? Yes. That's where this country is at. We have become too comfortable in our means to feel a need for God. Why? Because we're not in the path. We're not adhering to the truth. And we don't care about the life. That's the fact. Now, 2 Samuel 22:29, he says, "For thou art my lamp." You have to have a light to see. The only way that we can see is by the intervention, divine intervention of God. And in being able to see then, God is our lamp, because without Him, we don't see. We don't see the way, we don't see the truth, and we don't see the life. So Samuel says, "For thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will heighten my darkness." You think that don't happen? Just stay away from the path. Just stay away from the truth. And just stay away from the life. And you'll see how dark it can get real quick. God created a clean heart. He renews the right spirit. He shows you the path of life. And He lights the way for you. What else can you ask for? The poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy Spirit. What are we looking for if we're not looking for the way, the truth, and the life? What are you seeking? What are you desiring? Consider those things between now and next Sunday, and we'll go a little bit further into this life that Jesus Christ is referring to. May God bless you and keep you, is my prayer at this time.
3:21. My God, my life, my love.